podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 8th of August, 2019. My name's Patrick Smith. It is still the 8th of August. We're recording this quite late. It'll end up being the 9th by the time we've finished, maybe, but that's another matter. I hope you're all having a great summer. The Belfast Giants roster is complete for the 2019-2020 season. The Champions Hockey League is only a few weeks away, but even before that, we have the little matter of the four pre-season games that take place over the next couple of weeks. In this week's show, we're going to hear from Ben Lake, Adam Keefe, Kevin Rain, Matt Pellick, and Adam Robinson. There's a lot to cover. I'll introduce the gentleman first in a little bit of a different order. First of all, a man who, the last time he was on this show, well, he was just about to head off on holiday to Portugal with his fabulous daughter, but he got a bit of grief from me over the Champions League final. I'm going to put that aside, mate. It's only a few weeks, it's only 24 hours to the start of the Premier League season. Mr. Simon Kitchen, how are you?
Fantastic, Patrick. Been a great couple of holidays I've had over the summer period. And I just, you said, about finishing with Jazz there last week at Portugal was brilliant. So all good.
Oh, enjoy yourself.
Brilliant. I love Portugal. It was the first time we ever went away with absolutely nothing planned. Yeah. We didn't have anything, no schedule. We just said, when we wake up in the morning, we'll decide what we're doing. So it's definitely the way to go.
Great. I know. I love going out there myself. My father-in-law lives out there 6 months of the year, and it's a beautiful place to go, especially when the weather's good. Next up, well, a man who's also been on his travels, but a bit further east. You can't have failed to notice if you follow him on Twitter that Mr. Joel Neal's been off to Myanmar or Burma. You know, you may know it as Myanmar, but it'll always be Burma to me, as Jay Peterman said, and for all you Seinfeld fans out there. But a little closer to home, in the last couple of days, he's been whoring himself on television, hasn't he? I have to say, Joel, right? The one thing I watched it there, Joel Neal was on the One Show today because he decided to invite the BBC and take some of your I'm going to sound like Stephen Nolan, some of your license fee into his own pocket as the Harlan Wolf Samson Graft cranes were put onto the show. Not only will you get on the One Show, Joel, you'll also get on the One Show in Northern Ireland, which seems to be a show of itself. Who knew this, you know? But I have to say, it was really nice of you to talk about that day that Simon and Davey came and drank on your balcony.
To have those kind of symbols of the city just sitting right outside the window, it's beautiful.
So a wonderful montage, isn't it?
Yeah, what, Andrew? Yeah, local Korean enthusiast for Judy. How are we doing, boys?
How's Burma?
Yeah, it was pretty wild, to be honest. Holiday's a strong term for it. We were definitely traveling, but I survived that, so let's see if I can survive another season in the Elite League.
And last, but of course not least, a man who, well, he's been on his travels. He's probably been to Derry, Ockham, and a Skilling in the Boyne. But no doubt, he's had a great summer. What I will say is, it was his birthday yesterday. So, Mr. McGimsey.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. How you doing, mate?
Thanks very much. I'll say that's a little more successful than the last time we tried to do a happy birthday on the show.
That's why I decided to go straight for it.
I appreciate that. I see the Belfast Giants roster in front of me here. I see their average age getting lower. As I tweeted last night, one of the players was born after the first spade went into the ground for the arena, so I'm feeling rather old and tender at the minute.
We'll get to that, mate. The roster is complete, as you say, and there's at least one very young name on that you spoke to. But before we get into the roster, just a quick mention, if you didn't see it, we are delighted to be associated now with the fabulous Cool FM, Northern Ireland's number one for music. You'll be able to download your favorite podcast. Let's be fair, it's your favorite podcast. You'll be able to get that not only in the usual spots like Apple Podcasts, Google, the Spotify, Pocket Cast, all that, but you'll now be able to download it every single week through the Cool FM app. So get yourself onto your iPhone or your I don't know, what is it for Android? Just Google Android Store.
The other one.
I have no idea. Was it?
I have no idea. The one that's not iPhone.
The other one, and download the Cool FM app where you can listen to Curtis McCosh in the afternoon or Pete Snodden in the morning. You can now also listen to us on A View from the Bridge. Big thanks to Dave McCammond and the Cool FM for providing us with that. And who knows, will they come to regret it? Anyway, gentlemen, as I've said a few times, the Belfast Giants roster is complete. Let's run you through all the names that were out since we last spoke here on the podcast. In defence, Jesse Forberg has joined. He is from Saskatchewan. You've also got Patrick Mullen, Matt Pellick, and Kevin Rain back in the Belfast Giants lineup. With regards to the forwards, Jean Dupuy, Bobby Farnham, which Davey had a great chat with in the interviews, Curtis Hamilton, Ben Lake, which we spoke about, Liam Morgan, Liam Reddix, and Brian Ward. They're all new names since we last spoke. We asked on Facebook and on Twitter for your comments on the roster, so just a few of the comments that we got back are, of course, not on my computer because I've been messing about. John Fagan, fantastic roster with lots of potential. Only slight doubt is Farnham's reputation. Will it hinder us with the refs in our league and CHL? He's bags of skill, so hopefully another Riley. We Gaza, our squad is insane, almost like they were signed by a lunatic. We'll come back to that.
Nice.
Interesting one, Chris Lovell, arguably the most expensive side in our history, and on paper, one of the best also. Let's hope it performs. Samuel Dalton, that's going to be one heck of a season, and from the first game, they'll give their all and compete every game. It seems, Mr. McGimsey, that people are very pleased with the roster that's been put in front of them. Are you?
The proof of the pudding's in the eating. We'll have to wait till we see them. You know, on the ice, on paper, it's a lovely little roster. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got size. It's going to be tough. I think we've talked through a few of the interviews and a few of the guys know their roles. They're coming into play, and you know, it's going to be a really, really tough team. Which is you're hoping it's going to be the type of hockey that I especially like playing. You know, like watching. You know, doesn't worry me that we've got that little edge. It was always going to be a really, really difficult roster to, you know, replace the amount of people that moved on, the guys that retired, guys that never came back as well. So it was always going to be difficult with the successes of last season going so close and all the competitions, winning the league, winning the cup. You know, it was always going to be difficult to try and replicate that. But I think on paper, it's a very successful looking roster.
Simon, I was interested, we're going to hear from your interview with Adam Keefe that you did today. I was interested when I listened to it and was editing earlier that I thought, as Davey said, you know, a high turnover of players, but it seems it's the same as last year.
Yeah, you know, that's just the price of success. You know, everybody else wants to get a hold of your best players, and yeah, we've had some guys who played last year and they're going on to higher leagues. Others have moved to lower teams in the league, and you know, it's just one of those things that you've just got to put up with. And I think Thorts and Adam have worked seriously hard over the summer. I mean, when you look at what Adam, especially, you know, he was away with Team GB, didn't get back until the end of May. I think he had 2 days off, and then he was away to Canada. So you know, he's been up to his Oxters, and he's still working away. And look, a lot of things that you don't see behind the scenes. Adam was moving stuff around, getting stuff in the apartments. When I left him at 20 past 8 tonight. I'm pretty sure he was at the Ice Bowl at 8 o'clock this morning. So, you know, it's not all, you know, glamour and not all just arriving at the ice and training for an hour and then that's your job done for the day until the game time. But, you know, kudos to Adam and Steve for the roster that they have put together. I've been lucky enough to watch a couple of practices this week. We're still missing six guys who will arrive between now and Sunday. I'm really excited for the start of this season. And, you know, I've really enjoyed the summer. I haven't really missed the hockey at all, being honest. But as just getting those two practices this week and chatting with a couple of boys today at the practice itself, it's definitely something for every single Giants fan to look forward to.
You know what? I'm with you on that. There's been so much going on this summer for me personally, but outside of that, I think the hockey's been in the background. I've not really missed it that much, but over the last couple of days, actually, and as we were preparing for this podcast, getting back into the swing of things, and the level of shithousery that's going on Twitter, it started to drag me all the way back into it. Before we get into specifics of players, Joel, as a whole, you know, you pleased with the way that the Giants have responded to losing so many players?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today. I was having a flick kind of through the roster and familiarizing myself with the new guys. See, after the playoffs last year, the curtain came down on that phenomenal 18-19 season. There was a real kind of twinge of sadness. You knew that you weren't going to see that group together again. You had a fair idea that once again, as Simon has said, you'd only be retaining a core, and we've what, 8 back from last season's squad. It was so hard to imagine the task of heading into this summer, especially with the World Championships, and attempting to replace, I would say, the greatest, as others would say, one of the greatest Giants sides ever assembled. But my God, here we are. Like, you have pure quality, you have depth of experience, you've got young, youthful energy, and just potential all up and down that lineup. I did not think I'd be sitting in August more excited about seeing a team than last year's, but my goodness, I'm just ready to go. I think that we're in for another real treat. It's going to be another roller coaster, but I'm ready.
Looking at Facebook, Lucy Hamilton says, looking strong, amazing signings and a great mix of youth and experienced players. Reddix was a fantastic sign. Excited to see how Farnham plays too. Thomas Brownlee, on paper, better than last year's. Very, very special team. But stats are only one part of it. How they come together on the ice is an important thing, but I can't wait to see them in action. And Morris Rafferty, interesting to see the majority of new signings coming directly from European leagues. Perhaps a sign that we're not just planning to make up the numbers. Davey, anybody in specific? I know you chatted with a number of these guys, including a great chat with Bobby Farnham. Incidentally, you can get all of these interviews on our SoundCloud or on kingdomofthegiants.com. But is there any who stands out, or which players stand out? Are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, first of all, on the Bobby Farnham thing, you know, we're really, really fortunate, first of all, on the podcast to get to do what we do, to talk to these guys before they come into Belfast and get to give them a little feel. This sounds terrible, a little feel of us. introduce our humour to them, all that kind of thing. And it's been really, really nice. And Bobby Farnham greeted me like a long-lost mate. You know, it was a really, really good chat. I really enjoyed it. But one guy from last year, from the Continental Cup, of course, not a direct replacement for Chris Higgins, but a kind of younger, faster model, if you like, of the, you know, the skill and the skating ability. And Patrick Ronka, you know, says he's been up the Ice Bowl this week and says he's quicker than a Peter out of the New Lodge. And, you know, I'm really, really looking forward.
Unbelievable, this guy.
This team is going to be tough, but it's going to be quick. And we've talked over a number of seasons, you know, the old Steve Thornton. I know that other people have said it, but I think Steve Thornton said 3-4 years ago, speed kills. And gradually, the hockey from the NHL comes down. Everything comes down, and as that league has got quicker, the league bloke gets quicker, and so on and so on. And eventually we catch up, and, you know, the outworkings of that is this looks a fast side.
Says that was Davies mentioned the edge. Matt Pellick obviously can stand up for himself. That's been shown. Bobby Farnham has a history of it. Arguably, he's come in as an enforcer, but we've seen that, you know, we've seen players like that come in with reputations, such as the aforementioned Blair Riley, you know, come in and show the other side of their game. But what do you think, is this side balanced, or are there any, what specific players do you think are going to shine?
Davies touched on one. You know, I watched him this week. This kid's just, I mean, I know we watched him at the Continental Cup. We were lucky enough to see him playing twice against the Giants, and then obviously played against the other teams when he was here as well. But to be honest, I thought he was a really good player then. I haven't seen him close quarters. This kid is unbelievable. He's light and quick. He's got a really good shot.
Ronka.
You know, he the skill aspect of the European hockey, as we've talked about for many years, is probably something that is overlooked. But this kid, he's only 23 years of age. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But there's a couple of other guys that stand out in the roster, and it's not so much newcomers to the league, but Ben Lake had a brilliant year last year for Coventry. Obviously scored our winning goal for the league title. Thanks very much, Ben. but, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I've watched him the last couple of days as well. He's deceptively quick. You know, he certainly, you know, he sticks up for his teammates. I think he's an all-round player as well. And but I think you touched on the word, Paddy, there a few minutes ago. Balanced, and I think it is. It's got balance right all the way through it. You know, we're still missing a few guys coming in for the first week of training camp. Next week it'll be a step up from what it is right now. Actually, to be honest, I think it might be two or three steps up. You know, we're going on to talk about the development side of things, but it's nowhere near the pace where it needs to be right now. I talked to Adam earlier. And he was talking about the you know, it's more just getting the legs going, more not so much fun, but guys getting to know each other. But next week it's going to be time to dust everything off and get ready to go, because you know it's these preseason games are important to get your fitness levels up and to get gelling together for the big game, which is just over 3 weeks away.
Open question to you guys, whoever wants it, but it's an interesting point out put by Morris Rafferty about the recruitment from Europe. Just looking at you know, Pellick has come from European teams. You've got Curtis Hamilton, Patrick Mullen, Liam Reddicks, and until Brexit, Kieran Long and Ben Lake have all come from European teams, as a Shane Owen. But, you know... is that key? You know, why are we now delving into like the EBL and SHL, or is it just a case the right players are available and then they come?
My two-word answer is Steve Thornton. I think that's his influence.
Yeah, we've been. It's not something that we've just done this. It's easy 5 or 6 years now of, yeah. And that's probably a Thornton influence. Yeah, of 5 or 6 years of digging into the EBL and around that. You know, right back to. Name a few players there that you know come off the tongue. You're Dustin White Cottons and Compons and all those guys that had been around Europe before they got to here. I came in, you know, Jeff Swayze and all those guys. Just we've been really fortunate that we've picked up some absolute beauties out of the European game. They come over to Europe, some of the better leagues, and then as they're progressing towards the end of their careers or whatever, they come here, they get their masters. They're used to the 200-foot ice. They want somewhere where we speak English, and this is just a perfect stop-off point for them.
That's interesting because, yeah, you're absolutely right on that regards to the English side, and that's something we'll hear when Sis taught them Matt Pellick. Joel, sorry, I'll come back to you. You know, any specific players are standing out in this roster for you?
I am on the Patrick Ronka hype train as well, but I'll not repeat what the boys have said. Liam Reddicks' surname is one letter away from Red Sox, so I'm pretty high on that guy as well. But if you don't mind, I got that from Alan Price. I can't even take credit. I was going to steal it, but I just can't do it. If you don't mind me cheating a little bit, I think something that I'm going to love this year is our defense in general. you know, you brought Shane Owen in to replace Tyler Bescarwani. There is a bit of an analogy and a commonality there in terms of Besco coming from Edinburgh, where you didn't see his full potential until he had that rock solid day in front of him. And then you look at the guys that we've complimented Lenny, Rayner and Swinney with. Patrick Mullen has 394 games in the AHL. Matt Pellick, he was a fringe NHLer in the A. He went through the Able via the Dell. Jesse Forsberg is a Mervyn Dutton winner, like, and has that kind of youth. You know, you've lost Jim Vandermeer. You've broken up a really solid decor from last year, but I honestly think we're going to be a fortress this year at the back.
Interesting point with regards to, you know, Forsberg and all coming in. And one name, Dave, I'm going to throw at you is Liam Morgan. Now, I don't want to talk about risks, but Liam Morgan's coming in as a young lad, 2 years in NCAA, has decided to turn pro. Are the Giants taking a chance?
I think absolutely. More than a chance, I think it's a risk. It's a high risk strategy. We know what we've got out of the NCAA, out of, you know, U Sports and stuff over the last couple of years. You know, they'll have done their due diligence on him. They'll have watched plenty of video. They'll have taken plenty of references. And obviously, he feels the time to step up the pro now is there as well. His numbers aren't bad. They're not earth-shattering. You know, he's going to come in and play a role, I would assume, on one of the lines on the wing. And, you know, hopefully for him, it's one of those. It's a real catalyst for first year in the professional ranks, and he can kick on. But yeah, it's of course a risk.
I'm sticking with that sort of theme, says, and I'm going to switch to Bobby Farnham. And a few people highlighting that Farnham's had, you know, suspensions in the AHL, suspension in the NHL, and has a bit of a hot head. Is that a risk?
No. Bring it on.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, let me tell you something. We had a guy that came in about 8 or 9 years ago. You know, every single player that comes in here is a risk, because you just don't know how it's going to go. But let's be honest, you know, it starts when players come in, they get treated the way they get treated in Belfast, which is, it's 100% best in the league. Without a shadow of a doubt, we treat our players the best in the league. And you're bringing guys in. I mean, I spoke to Matt Pellick today before I interviewed him and see how things go. And he said, listen, I absolutely love this place already. He's brought his wife with him. You know, so they're obviously making this their home, and for whatever length of time that he's here for. And it's all about gelling together. It's there's no iron team, guys. It's not one individual. You know, you talk about the young lad, Liam Morgan there. You know, this kid wants to make that step up the higher league. Darcy Murphy is exactly the same. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but Darcy Murphy is on trial at the minute. I know he's signed for his DEL2 team, but Patrick Smith is probably going to be a little bit overexcited here because an Iceburn.
Is he on the Iceburn train with Sebastian Silvestre?
And from my understanding, he's doing a lot better than Sebastian Silvestre. So he's standing out from what we've been told today. And, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. But was Darcy Murphy a risk 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. If Darcy Murphy was a risk 2 years ago, and Steve Thornton thinks that the risk is the take on this youngster and Liam Morgan, then do you know what? I'm right behind him. But look how Darcy Murphy turned out.
I think there's always a flip side of the coin to any risk that any perceived risk that we've brought in. Liam Morgan won the Friendship Four in Belfast with Union. Yep. You look at, I'm going to get his surname wrong, but Jean Dupuis. Guy missed last season, didn't play last season, but look back at his career history. He played in Sault Ste. Marie with Sheldon Keefe, and then he won the Calder Cup under Sheldon with the Marlies. So if he's there's no way that Sheldon would set on him a dud, put it that way. I think there's always a flip side of the coin, and any risk that we can perceive from the outside has probably been measured to bits from the inside.
Adam, sorry for jumping in there, Paddy. Sheldon spoke very, very highly to Puy. very highly.
Yeah, I think that, that's one of the things when I thought when they saw Dupree. Obviously, he didn't play last season, but then any player who's played under Sheldon at the Marlies or whatever, if you know, it's not as if he's not going to call his brother up and say, "Is this kid good?" You know, that's a direct reference. So you know, you've got a bit of belief in that. What I will say before we move on is also, now the roster is complete. Davey, you tweeted out a few names the other day, but it also means that a number of players. Is it? Well, we're led to believe the Belfast Giants tweeted the other day that it was the final
Telegraph.
Piece.
The Belfast Telegraph wouldn't lie.
Belfast Telegraph saying that there's more?
Belfast Telegraph. You stuck it in our WhatsApp group that they were still looking for one. This is before the announcement of Reddix and another Brit. Sure, they know everything.
Well, according to the Belfast Giants Twitter account, that Liam Reddix was the final piece. On Reddix, by the way, that's one player I'm really looking forward to see. There's a guy with CHL experience, SHL experience, NHL experience, and has been a title-winning captain in the SHL. He has the potential to come in here and rip the place apart, and that is one exciting player. But sorry, back to the point that I was going to make, Davey, is the sad part of all of this is a number of names we're not going to see in a Belfast Giants shirt this season.
Yeah, and news drips out over the summer about different ones retiring. You know, Patrick Dwyer says has already talked about Vandy there, and the last few days Kendall's put out his news about, you know, he's moving on to John Deere. And you know, we talked about players there. Just the ones that moved on, the Bescos and Jelly, didn't work out for him with the injuries. And you know, Rochi came in, did brilliant. Got himself a job in a better league by playing so well.
Davey, don't forget.
Where were you? Bucks behind you. See ya.
And I'm just looking down the roster from last year. Even guys that came in that didn't work out for, you know, Frankie and Bish and all those guys, they all played a part in what was an incredible season. And yeah, you know, I always have, I was going to say a soft spot, maybe a hard spot for
remember, kids, the Cool FM app, you can get us every single week.
Great while it lasted, wasn't it?
I was going to say, we'll be off Cool FM before the summer holidays are over. I'm going to miss Higgy. We talked there a wee bit earlier about, you know, Patrick Ronka coming in on a similar style, maybe, you know, 10 years younger than him. And, you know, you hope you get some of the performance that you got. Higgy came in and, you know, he was a difference maker. He got you on the edge of your seat. He could do things. He could see plays that other players just couldn't see. And when he was linked up with the right players, they were just filling the back of the net time and time again, because he was just the catalyst for them to go on and do great things. And you run on down, you know, Dustin Johnner, he'll forget that, you know, that moment in the in the Continental Cup Finals, the goal he scored in open play and then the penalty shot as well. Murph, you just talked about. Blair Riley. Damon Oliver's there. Who? Colin Shields retired. You know, Matt Toe. Don't know what's happening with Toe. He scratched 70 or what, 81 times last season. He must be, you know, hurting from that as well. So, you know, it's last season was last season. We were successful. We thank all those boys for coming to Belfast and making a little chapter in their hockey stories. And I'm sure they'll have real good memories. And I can't remember who I was talking to. Was it Rayner during the off season? We're talking about winning the championships in the bar. You know, and that's a story for those guys to take on to their next port of call or in their retirement and tell their kids about.
So, you got to add John Boxall to that list. We missed the one and only Jim.
Oh, sorry. Absolutely. Joel, sorry. I did put a tweet out the other day thanking Boxy for his time in Belfast. What a guy. And you know, I would doubt the door's closed on Boxy forever. You know, he's only 30. He'll be, you know, he'll be wanting to play hockey still. And, you know, who knows where he'll end up. But, always very good to us in the podcast. Articulate guy, shocking fashion sense, but says me who's like pouring rain in flip flops and shorts tonight. You know, so I can't criticize too much, but you know, another great guy who's wore the tail and the Finn McCool great pride in his days.
He's scooping up dogs.
It's one of my favorite pastimes.
You're a delegator, mate.
Look at the poo. Look outraged. Look at me. It was like proper fashion shoot.
Look at the cranes. Look sad. I'm pretty good as well.
Yeah. Since you probably know these guys, or especially last year's team, you probably know amongst the four of us, you probably know them better than any of us as a team. You know, when you look back at that team from last year and the guys who aren't going to be around, who are you missing? Who would you have liked to have seen in this roster?
Patrick Dwyer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you're with the Charlotte Checkers, an assistant coach.
Again, stepping up a ladder from Belfast. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. We talk about all the guys from last year, and that's going to be a season that we're never going to forget. Hopefully we can replicate or even improve on from last season. Fairly over the last 2 years has been we all have our favourites over the last 19 years, moving into 20. And Jonathan Fernand for me is right up there. You talk about, the quality of the player on the ice, and we always talk about, or Steve and Adam always talk about the quality of the person off the ice. I don't think we'll find anybody better than Jonathan Fernand. He was the absolute top man. He's just such a nice guy off the ice, and what he did on the ice. I mean, Davey will have all the stats down the line from many hits he threw and putting his body through all that adjustment and that pain over the last 17 years of being a professional hockey player. Fairley's definitely going to be one of the guys I'll miss this season, and I'm pretty sure he's picked up a coaching job in Montreal or in Quebec. So I wish him the best of luck. And there's so many guys from last year that will be missed, but we've talked about it before. It's history. That team will never play together again. Never. We're never going to be able to get all that team back together. It'd be great to try and get, and maybe in 10 years' time, get everybody back, but you're never going to be able to get them all back together on the ice together at the same time. So it's they put us through some high emotions last year. Obviously, the Continental Cup in Belfast, losing out those penalty shots is one thing that you're going to stick long in their memory as well. But it's a new season, and the guys that we have in this roster, as Davey just touched on, it's exciting me as well.
Joel, which one of the players that have now moved on, you look back on and go, actually, I would have liked to have seen him back in this roster?
Yeah, for me it's Darcy Murphy. Durf just, he got it in the background. He got along with everyone. He was such a positive force off the ice for the club. And on the ice, he could just make magic happen on any given night. If you're on a breakaway and that puck falls at the toe of Darcy Murphy, you know that you're in with a shout. He was just electric to watch. He celebrated so hard anytime he scored, any big goal he scored. You could see how much he was having fun, just young and full of energy and full of life. I mean, Tyler Bescarani was as good as building a brick wall in front of the net. It goes without saying, we're now moving on to an era of the Belfast Giants without Colin Shields. We've lost John Boxall. Yeah. But if I had to pick one, it's Darcy Murphy. I would have him back in a heartbeat. And I hope that he goes on and he absolutely crushes it in Europe because he's good enough. But I also hope he knows the door's always open for a return.
50 goals in the Elite League. I think he's definitely good enough to go into Europe at a higher league than what he would the L2, all due respect to those who have come and gone that way. I was going to say something. Oh, no, what I was going to say was that the Belfast Giants stats team's Twitter account has been brilliant these last couple of days about some of the goals from last season, tweeting out some of that. Actually, one question before we move on, I'm going to hear some interviews in a second, is something that I think maybe you said, Sis. I'm just going to ask a quick round the table. Everybody knows who their favourite Belfast Giants is. You've all got your specific all-time favourite Belfast Giant. It's probably, I'm going to guess, for it's going to be Jason Ruff or Theo Fleury. Who's your second favourite, Davey?
Who's my second favourite
Belfast Giant? I assume that you say your favourite all time would probably be Jason Ruff. I'm asking who's your second favourite.
My favourite Belfast Giant of all time is
Mark Morrison.
Yeah. Okay. No doubt about it. Ballybean boy, Dundalen boy, done good.
We'll come back to him later in the show, I think.
But Jason Ruff, as a night just the best guy that's ever put the shirt on in terms of ability, and a guy that could have and should have played much, much more at the very highest level. You know, if you come into Belfast and do this, they carry the team in those early years of the IHL, but like you look at the numbers too, if Colin Shields has put up however many years at the club, it's such for, we've had over 200 players at the club, it's a very, very difficult question to say, you know, here's my
first and second.
It's Mo.
it is, and just on that, it is odd to see this Belfast Giants roster without Colin Shields on it. Says, who's your second favourite?
Second favourite?
Yeah.
That's a tough question.
Especially at 20 to 12.
Yeah. Terrence Sandwith.
Ooh!
What? What? Being sarcastic. He was crap. Do you know what? I do have. I've got it now.
Are you kidding me, Simon?
Jason Bowen.
Good shout.
Love watching Bozy play. Got to know him over the last number of years as well, a bit better. He's joined us for comms and Giants TV as well. I just loved the way he played the game. You know, he didn't take any prisoners. You wouldn't get in his way because he'd take you out by the roots. He was just as tough as nails. He could play as well. And Jason Ruff and Jason Bowen, definitely up there, 100%.
Just don't let him buy chicken wings and Hooters. I was just tell that say, much.
Paddy, the year that he hung with us at the playoffs was probably some of the funniest things. Like you and him fighting over an Irish passport while the boxing was on. The next day, us coming in and all having one drink, and then I'm trying to split like a £70 bar bill when he's at like he's at like 1,600 chicken wings. Went, just split the bill, lads. What? I've had a pint, mate. And we all,
came in.
And he looked at when
us, he came on.
What? We all put 20 in.
I'm not taking them on.
20 in with Jason Bowen says, get your wallets out. Like, the big thing, like, I mean, the first time he came on to join on Giants TV, I said that he came in, he was running a wee bit late, and he came in. You all right? He says, I've never done this before. I'm a wee bit nervous. I said, nothing to be nervous about. We just take the mic. I says, you know, if you get the run names wrong, don't worry about it. I do it every week. It's absolutely fine. I said, do you need a drink or something? Yeah, get us a drink. I says, what do you want? Give me a triple Jack Daniels and Coke.
My guy. Yes. My guy.
Yes.
Triple Jack Daniels and Coke. Is me right? Okay, no problem at all. Ordered it. Got it up there. He necked it and won. And he was off and running.
Hockey guy.
I'm going to come with my own Jason Bowen story here in a minute, which was before I come to you, Joel. But the my own Jason Bowen story is, I think we just won the playoffs. I think it was the 2010 playoffs. And I think you were with me, Davey, but we were walking down doing interviews and whatever, and they were stood outside the Giants locker room, and the guys were going nuts in the locker room, having showers, just going, whole place was buzzing. And Jason Bowen walks out of the dressing room, door closes behind him. You know, and he's a big guy. He's a big intimidating presence. So, Bozy, he goes, yeah. Leans against the wall, strokes his chin, and just goes, whole load of bear c**ks in that room. good guy. Joel, who's your second favourite, Jan?
Sorry to go down the obvious route here, boys, but
don't say Brock McBride.
Liam Red Sox. No, my sort of full time love affair with the Belfast Giants began in 2010. So I'm a new era guy. So it's one Adam Keefe, two Darryl Lloyd for me. Nice. Lloydy, just I don't know, just something about him. I still miss him to this day. You know, you move on and you sort of adopt new teams and you have new favorites. But I always still get that little twinge of sadness in my heart when I think of Darryl Lloyd. I miss the guy. We were in a Nottingham restaurant in 2014 after having won the Elite League away on that doubleheader against the Panthers. Taff went up to the arena and stole the trophy effectively and brought it back to the bar. Lloydy was that
didn't steal nothing, belonged to us, mate.
He, yeah, well, that's it. He he liberated the trophy from the arena, brought it down to the bar. I'll always remember sitting in a Nottingham restaurant, and Lloydy was walking around with the trophy full of beer. He walked over to me. I didn't really know him too well at the time, but he just shoved it into my arms, and I sort of looked at him like, what? And he just goes, take it, it's yours. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to love you until I die. It's just little moments like that that stick with you. So I'm sorry, but it's a Bash Brothers 1-2 for me.
Go throw my hat in the ring, if I may, and Patrick Bateman.
Brian Shade.
That's where I'm going for. But Steve Thornton was always my number one, but Pat, as a player, and Patrick Bateman most certainly my number two. And what a player! What a presence on the ice! What a drive! Great goal scorer! Great, and that game against Sheffield. I tweeted about it not that long ago, but that game against Sheffield, it was absolutely phenomenal. And you know, guy beats up on the goalie, guy beats up on Scott Baswick, absolutely ruins him. And then we score three goals just driven by him. He got kicked from the game, but inspired the team, scored three goals. We walked out of there as winners, absolutely hammered Sheffield in the last 3 minutes of the game. You know, Bateman was phenomenal for us, and a player I'd love to have seen play a bit more for the Giants. But, you know, that's the way of this game. The way of this game in this country is the fact that some of these guys move on, some of these guys retire, some of these guys climb the ladder, some of them drop down to the Cardiff Devils. So,
nice.
Right, let's have a couple of interviews. As we mentioned a few times, Sizz got to catch up with training, see how some of these new guys are playing. First up, we're going to hear from Kevin Rain, but then we'll hear from Adam Keefe and Matt Pellick.
Kevin Rain, back in Belfast again after a very, very successful stint last season.
Yes, excited to be back. It was a short summer for all of us, especially the GB guys who played long after the EIHL season last year. But all excited to be back, getting into shape here in earlier than usual. And I think it's day three, and we're working hard, as you can see.
Obviously, no face guard on at the minute. You're still waiting for a bit of equipment to come as well because you're in that early.
Yeah, I guess the visors are in the mail. A little scary. We all know how quick things can happen out there, and you know, with sticks and pucks flying around and fast paced game. Luckily, we're all on the same team out here, and so we're not going so hard on each other. But you know, unfortunately, nobody's taken one in the eye yet.
A lot of new teammates this year. A lot of new partnerships as well. After such a successful year last year, playing with Camden McFall, you potentially could be playing with another Kendall McFall, ex-teammate.
Yeah, Jesse Forsberg and I are in an apartment together. He's quite the character. We've got to know each other pretty quick, and he's awesome. And you know, just from Kendall and Rochi, that if they're saying he's a good guy, you know he will be for sure. And you know, it's amazing how quick we've gelled already in the room and the whole dressing room as well. So yeah, it's you know, exciting times. We're working out the kinks right now, and excited to get going in preseason here next weekend.
Obviously, you played in the Continental Cup last year. You're going to make that step up to CHL. You must be looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course. I think it's an exciting time in British ice hockey, given the GB team is in Pool A and Champions League here. You know, us coming off our season the way we did. And so, really exciting season, a lot to build off of. Of course, new teammates, but they all know what's expected, given how the last few seasons have gone. And that's essentially why they came here, right? That's why we play. We play to win, and that's appealing to be in a place like this and on a team that you know, tends to have success like we have.
Adam Keith, back on the ice, coming towards the end of the first week of training camp. How's things going?
Good. I think this week's not too serious. We're more just trying to get guys back into the thick of things and get them moving and get the rust out, I suppose, in the first week, so that you know, we're still missing six players. So when everybody arrives for next week, we can kind of get into more structural things and get everybody on the same page. But this week's really about getting to know each other and starting to feel good on the ice.
Was the fall there when you were doing the skating drill, was that part of just having a bit of fun out there?
No, I chalked that up to Taff. He must have messed with my skates. He certainly should be sharpening them, I think.
Coming into next week, as you say, you're hoping to get everybody in by Monday, and then gearing up for the first two friendly games next weekend.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of, you know, thankful for this 1 week here of just kind of letting guys get into it, not at their own pace, but at a different pace than it'll be next week with everybody arriving and a bit of teaching going on as well next week. So, but I think everybody's happy and just kind of excited to get going, really, and meet everybody. You know, it's hard to really get into the thick of things until everybody really arrives and you have your full squad.
Obviously, a lot of new faces this season. Successful campaign last year. It's always going to take a bit of time to glue everybody together.
Yeah, it's never easy to have to replace the amount of players that we have. That being said, I think we replaced the exact same amount the year before. So I like the look of the group on paper. I like the look of the group here in practice this week. We're pretty confident that we'll have some growing pains, but we got to work through them here in August and gel as quickly as possible and get ready for Champions League. That's what these next four friendly matches against Moore and Herning are all about.
I've seen a lot of the local youngsters, well, not so much youngsters anymore. Adam Robinson sitting behind us here, but a lot of the younger guys on the ice and any guys impressing at the minute?
Yeah, they're all doing quite well. I mean, it's difficult to come in here. I'm sure they're nervous and skate with a bunch of veteran pros that we have, but it's nice for them to get on the ice with us and show what they can do, and also fill the void of the imports that are not over here yet. So it allows us to have a proper practice all week, and it also allows me to see these guys firsthand.
Third day of training camp, Dundonald, and we're joined by Matt Pellick. Matt, what's your first thoughts on in Belfast and being here for just over a week now?
So far, so good. Getting settled in. The setup's great. You know, we're right close to the Odyssey. We're walking in the downtown. It's a beautiful city. So my wife and I have just been trying to explore it as much as we can and kind of discover what we like here. So, and then as far as the training camp goes, it's been good. Guys are starting to get a feel for it and gel together a little bit, and we're getting our feet under us a bit too here, so it's a good introduction.
Still a few guys missing. The jigsaw will be put together early next week, but everything's getting geared up to meeting Mora next weekend against in the Swedish team in Belfast.
Yeah, for sure. I think the aim is to have everyone here for practice on Monday once we get into the big rink, and it'll be nice. It'll be nice to see on paper we look really good. It's exciting to see guys trickle in over the next couple of days and have a look at what we look like on Monday, Tuesday, going in next weekend.
14 new teammates, well, actually a whole group of new teammates, but 14 new Giants. How difficult is it to gel that team together?
For sure. It's, from my first impressions here, there's... this is a squad put together of a bunch of good people. So and so far we really get along and guys are having a laugh together. So, but that's what happens when you win the league, the year before, and pretty much everyone on the team has a good year because that's what it takes to win that many trophies. Guys are going to move on. There's some leagues that are a little bit higher up in Europe that, if you have a good year like that, that's kind of what's going to happen. Guys are going to move up, and you really got to try to put a team together year after year. It's not like it's something you can build for 4 or 5 years.
Could you be back in an English-speaking country as well?
I was joking around. I'm having a tough time with the accents, and I'm getting thrown off a little bit. 4 years in a German-speaking country, just when my German was starting to get okay, switch it up on me and the wife. So it's great. First impressions here are fantastic, and I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks to the boys. Only a couple of weeks until the start of pre-season. The fixtures came out. The Giants will start at home. Well, obviously, this is outside of the Champions Hockey League and the pre-season. When it comes to the Elite League season, there are three trophies to defend. They'll start their defence of the Challenge Cup at home to the Clan on the 14th of September, and they'll start the defence of the League Championship against the Manchester Storm at Altrincham on the 15th of September. Little story of the preseason games against Moore IK and the Herning Blue Foxes in consecutive weekends before CHL kicks in. We'll come to that in a bit. Joel, bit more of a balanced schedule. We have a couple of long away stretches, but nowhere near what we've had the last couple of years.
Oh, 100%. I can't remember which month it is, but I think there's one month where there are only two home games. But at that, much more spread out, much more sort of what I would consider a normal hockey schedule. We're not sitting dauntingly looking at this sort of month and a half on the road. It can only be a good thing. I mean, if we can win the league title with one of the worst schedules in hockey, then we're probably in good shape for a decent one as well. But yeah, whoever it was, probably Brooksy, maybe Glover, went over and did the hard yards that a computer couldn't do, then. And well done, boys, because I think we're in good shape this year.
I think Thorch was in it as well. Davey, it's an interesting point from Joel that our schedule last season wasn't the best and we went on to win the league title. Does it have an effect, or is it just a case of we still have to play all the games?
Well, you have to play the same amount, home and away. It obviously had a bit of a galvanising effect. We talked about it in the 80s season. I think 80s season was the first time that we had that real long road stretch, and by the time we came back from it, the league was nearly over. And this season, you know, or well, let's see, I still stay this season because this one hasn't started yet. You know, last season there, that long road stretch, we did so well on it, and we talk, you know, and we'll do it again this year. And Adam Keefe will lay out his plans is to be in touch come the 1st of January. You know, when you get into that stretch of games from January to April, you have to be in touch. You can't win the league in October, November, December, but you can't lose it. No, that's corny as it is to say. You know, you can put yourself out of position. So you're just about staying in position, staying in touch, trying to win as many games as you can, and then be ready for the stretch and hopefully be healthy. And, you know, it does look a bit more of a balanced schedule this year, which is great for us, because it's not those big long road stretches aren't great for the fans either. You know, we had the Continental Cup and stuff to keep us entertained last year, but you know, basically 2 months on the road with no hockey in the SSE, you know, you get a wee taste of it in September and October, and then it disappears again until basically January. And so it wasn't great for the fans and that. And then you have to shoehorn a lot of games in. Ask his pharmacist who was, you know, providing with the throat lozenges, like, how many games says did you do between Christmas and the end of the season? You know, rather than have them spread out from August onwards, you know, so a spread just helps everybody. It helps people that are going to watch games with cash flow, because it's not a cheap night out. So, you know, if you can spread it across the season rather than having to, you know, not have much hockey before Christmas and then an awful lot in the spring. So hopefully it'll, not an easier schedule, because as you've already said, you play everybody, whatever it is, this season, three times home, three times away, but, you know, spread out a little bit easier is better for the boys, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The 80 season had its lean. I think one of the first I remember where we basically front-loaded a lot of our games was when Theo Fleury was playing the Giants, because I think Mamma Mia had a long stretch in the Odyssey Arena, as it was then, and we front-loaded a lot of our games, gained a good lead on the league table, and then the others had to catch up on that and give us a bit of advantage. So, says having the right setup and having maybe not as many 3-3s. I don't think we have any 3-3s this season, where we had a few. But so it is about getting those the right schedule.
Yeah, I think Thorch's done a brilliant job this year as well. You know, all those 3-3s last year were tough going. Besko especially, you know, he wanted to play every single game, and there was times when Adam literally had to just literally drag him off the ice and say, look, Besko, you know, you're not a robot here. You just need to take a game off. And it was difficult for that as well, because Murph was and you know, Besko, as I say, stood up to the task and did a brilliant job last year. But, you know, that does take the time. It does take the impact on the body. You know, we talk about guys, the goalie, sorry. It's also the guys as well, you know. You've got the likes of Patrick Dwyer, who, you know, he said, you know, I've never played 3-3 since, apart from junior hockey. You know, if you look back at the level that he played at, and he's never expected to play 3-3, but the schedule or the time scale of the Elite League and trying to cram it all into that short space of time, and then you've got guys going beyond the schedule that they had in the Elite League and playing in the World Championship levels as well. It's been a tough year last season for a lot of guys. We're lucky if you want to call it, lucky that we didn't really have that many GB players going away, because it's not much of a break that they've got. So, it can be very, very tough on the dead. But moving forward this season, as it stands, there's no 3-3s, which is absolutely brilliant. And hopefully, there's a break in February for GB going away for Olympic qualifiers. And the Giants have potentially 5, maybe 6 guys that'll be looking to be on that that roster for the Olympic qualifiers as well as the World Championship next year as well.
Yeah, there's quite a few Giants looking to get onto that roster, and at least the aforementioned Liam Reddicks, who I think has got a good chance. But the fixture list, you go see it at BelfastGiants.com, and we'll be cracking into that on this 14th of September, but of course before that, pre-season and the little matter of the Champions Hockey League. Before we have a look around the league, obviously through the summer we tried to keep you up to date on KingdomOfTheGiants.com with the new signings and give you interviews and whatever, and try to give you the about yous. One we haven't done yet, and one that's going to be online, is one with Ben Lake. But as you saw from Joel Neal, who lives in a very nice place.
Come on.
Mate, listen. I always leave it. Brilliant. It seems that Ben Lake also lives in a very nice place, and he dropped by Joel for a chat.
Okay, coming to you live from my living room this evening. I've been joined by one of the new neighbours. Welcome to Belfast, and of course the Belfast Giants, Ben Lake. How you doing, bud?
Doing well, thanks for having me.
I mean, it's that kind of point in the summer now, the boys are getting into town. I know you had your kind of first day today. How long have you been in town for? How are you settling in?
Great, yeah. So I got in on Thursday at around 5 o'clock, so it's been good so far. Everything's been super nice, been getting treated really well. Apartments are great. Got all our equipment and stuff the other day, so yeah, I'm excited to get going here.
This is a point in the season I think a lot of fans are really interested in, because they obviously see the game night experience but know very little about the kind of day and daily of players and how it all comes about. What has that first day been like? Were you put through your paces today? Did you have team meetings? Paint us a picture of just what that kind of first week looks like.
Yeah, so today we kind of we just went over what's expected, kind of off the ice, out of all of us. Just everything, just the ins and outs of the club and everything that we need to do to just like with cars and apartments, yeah, and all that. And then we headed over to Ulster University there, and we just did some like fitness testing screening, so nothing too difficult, mostly just for injury purposes. So if we were to get an injury, then they would have a baseline for us, sure, to know where we need to be at when we're 100% healthy, which we all are, hopefully.
Of course, it goes without saying. Yeah. But it sounds then obviously as if Kiefer is sort of breaking you in gently, but the work's going to ramp up with such a short kind of space of time.
Yeah, so so tomorrow we're going to be on the ice, and I'm not sure what that's going to be like, but I think that first day is going to be pretty tough. I think we got some on-ice testing, which I don't think any of the boys are looking forward to. But it's part of it, and it's, yeah, good to get back on the ice and just kind of get our timing back. And so it's good that we have a couple of weeks here before our first preseason game to, get gel with the boys and, like I said, get our timing back. So I'm excited to get back out there.
And obviously, as I say, you're a neighbor now. Who have they got you rooming with this year?
I'm with Kieran Long. So it's nice because I knew him from GB camp there. So it's good to have a familiar face that you're living with. So
is he easy to live with?
Time will tell. It's only been a couple of days, but I think it'll be fine. We both enjoy the same thing. So yeah, we're both football fans and like to play PlayStation. So I think it'll be pretty easy for us.
Match made in heaven. So, I mean, sure, we were talking just before we started here just about how short your summer's been with GB and obviously with such a quick preseason for the Giants. But before we get to that, did you get your official Supporters Club welcome pack?
I did, yeah, yeah.
Always impressed by what these guys put together.
Yeah, it was awesome. I don't have Twitter or anything, so I didn't send out a tweet, so... But yeah, we really appreciate those, and I knew what everything was except for there was some interesting, I can't remember, they were like veggie sausage.
Vegetable roll.
Vegetable roll, yeah.
Which in true Irish fashion has very little vegetables in it. It's mostly meat, but yeah.
I was wondering what's wrong. I think, I don't know. I guess I'll try. We'll see.
I'll give you some recipes when we're done here. We'll put something together.
Yeah, if I'm running low on groceries one day, I'll give it a shot.
So the short summer that you had, where did you spend it? Where have you been all summer?
So I spent about a month and a half in Calgary, which is home for me. That's where all my friends are and most of my family. And then I spent the last 2 weeks out in Vancouver Island, where my parents actually live now. Beautiful. So I'm still doing my MBA from Coventry last year, so it was kind of nice to get away from all the distractions of my buddies back home and be out on the island there, being on the beach and just doing my schoolwork out there. So it was pretty quiet, but it was nice.
It's about to get a whole lot crazier.
Yeah.
No, listen, I can't go any further. I would be shouted at for carrying on without mentioning the main thing that Giants fans are going to want to talk about. You have been in the mouth of Giants fans for long before you signed on the dotted line with Adam Keefe. And of course, I'm talking about the game-winning goal in the last fixture of the regular season against the Cardiff Devils last year, an empty netter, which effectively clinched the league title for the Belfast Giants. Were you aware of the significance of the goal at that time? What was going through your mind?
I think we were all aware of what that game meant. It was more so us not wanting them to be lifting the trophy in our building. So we were happy to not have them do that. But obviously, for Belfast fans, they kind of felt that we were wanting them to win, but I mean, in retrospect, we didn't care who won. We just didn't want it to be in our building.
And I was going to, you've essentially answered what I was going to ask, but it obviously is never like how you have it in your head, even with my teal tinted spectacles off. How important was it for you and the boys last season to leave the Coventry Blaze home fans on a high? Obviously, no one wants to see silverware clinched on their home ice, but not many would have backed the Coventry Blaze heading into that last weekend with the stakes what they were for both sides.
Totally, yeah. Well, we had a pretty good night the night before. We beat Manchester to get in the playoffs, so we were coming off a pretty big night ourselves. And going into the game, it was essentially a nothing game for us. But as a competitor and as a professional athlete, you're never gonna go out there and lay an egg. So we thought we played a really good game, and to be honest, we matched up pretty well against Cardiff. All season, so definitely better than we did against Belfast. So maybe we shot ourselves in the foot a bit there. But
I wasn't going to bring that up. But I mean, let's take a look at your season last year. I think it's fair to say you had a breakout year in Coventry, second highest point scorer after our own Darcy Murphy, who's moved on. You finished in the first All Star team, 34 goals, 43 assists, and that's good for 77 points over just 60 games. What was it that came together for you last season in Coventry? Did you click with your line mates? Were you comfortable with the club? How did it all come together?
Yeah, I guess I get asked that quite a lot. I'd say just a mixture of everything, but mostly just a comfortability. Mm-hmm. I think my first season in Coventry, I had a bit of a slow start, and then I think after Christmas, I started playing really well. So going into last season, I was feeling pretty confident, and I knew what was expected of me, and I knew I was going to get an opportunity to play with some top guys. So I was playing with a couple guys that we clicked really well, and I think all three of us had a really good season, myself, Crowder, and Paulie. Mm-hmm. And I had never been a guy who was really leaned on to score night in, night out, and I think just having that mindset where I knew I could do it was a big part of it. So confidence was a big thing as well.
How does it feel now? Obviously, it's exciting in that early phase. You're coming into a new city, a new club. But you obviously have made some great memories in Coventry. How does it feel to be moving on from that?
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet. I made some really good friends there. So it's, in that aspect, it's tough to leave those guys who are returning. And but I just think for me, this opportunity of coming here, living in a city like Belfast, playing the Champions League, hopefully challenging for a league title is just, I think it would be something I'd be kicking myself if I didn't take it up.
We'll talk about the CHL in just one second, but could you give me a quick outline on how that move to Belfast came about? Has Adam Keefe been talking to you for a while? Was there a link through GB?
So Kiefer actually, he contacted me the day after they knocked us out in playoffs. Just sent me a quick email asking if it was something I'd be interested in. And I think here, coming here would have been the only place I'd consider leaving Coventry for. So, especially two nights before being in the city and like just seeing everything around. I think it's just such a cool city. And obviously he had his team playing so well. So it was shot him an email back saying something I'd be considering. And then towards when we met with GB, we obviously had a few chats and, I think it was more, it was after the World Championships, I really made a decision that this is where I wanted to be.
Yeah. And you mentioned it there. Does the opportunity to play in CHL factor big whenever you're looking at a decision like that?
I think so, yeah. It's just anytime you get to play more hockey and play against higher level players, yeah. And go to countries I've never been to. I've never been to Sweden, I've never been to Germany or Czech Republic, so that's something I'm really interested, I'm really excited about.
Our fans are saying the same thing.
Yeah,
it's totally. That opportunity to go and see different hockey cultures.
Yeah, totally. That's one of the main reasons I came over here is to see more of the world and increase my palette, so to say. But I'm really excited about heading over to those countries and seeing what it's like.
It would be remiss of me, I think, to carry on with this interview without talking about the World Championships. Such a historic summer for British ice hockey in general, and you were right in the middle of that. So you're a dual national, Canadian-British citizen, and you were selected, obviously, by Pete Russell for a pretty unforgettable adventure out there in Slovakia early in the summer. Can you talk to me a bit about that experience?
Yeah, I don't know where to start. It was it was an amazing experience. Just obviously playing against those type of players. I remember when we went over there and we played against Slovakia in the little pre-tournament game we had there. And I was just remembering warm-up and I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. Like seeing guys like Tomas Tatar over on the other side. And I was just like, what's going on here? But it was obviously very challenging playing against players like that. You're basically against teams like Canada. We played really well against the U.S., but like Finland, basically chasing the puck around for a majority of the game. And it was very taxing on the body, 7 games in 10 days. And
yeah.
So for us to come back and end up beating that France team and staying up was, you just can't even explain what it meant to us. And especially all those guys who have been on the team for so long.
Yes. Thinking of one call and changes as you say that.
Oh, totally, yeah. Just being able to do it for those guys and doing it in the fashion we did, coming back from 3-0 down. So,
here's the thing, though. I mean, I wasn't lucky enough to be out there. I know some friends were, but from the games I watched at home, I watched that France game from my desk at work, and I had to cover my mouth to stop from screaming.
Yeah.
You guys were not, even if you felt it inside, you were not intimidated on the ice. I mean, you were given as good as you got. There were some big hits. Davey Phillips was just out there crushing guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, was a sort of statement of the confidence that you guys had. You didn't go out to be whipping boys.
No, absolutely not. Like everyone said, we weren't there to make up the numbers. We truly believed we could stay up and compete with some of those teams. And I think we showed that. Obviously, we had a few off nights, which is kind of to be expected with all of our first times being there. Yeah. So, after that France game, that was... we definitely partied like we won the game.
I saw a few videos on Facebook that were swiftly deleted, but that's a different conversation for a different time. I guess I need to ask what your standout memory, if you had to pick something, just a moment or a play or a shift where you just thought, this is incredible, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, obviously, Benny Davies' goal in overtime, but for me personally, I think the shift before, I was actually out there, I think it was me, Perlini, and Ben O'Connor. And it was just a scramble off a faceoff, and Bouncy ended up making those three saves in a row.
Yes, electric.
And I was just thinking, oh my God, I'm going to lose this. And then he just stood on his head. And then next shift, we go down and score. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
You literally couldn't write it.
Yeah.
Like if it was a hockey movie, people would say, no, that's nonsense. You know?
Yeah, it was insane.
A couple of questions before we finish. As I say, you've had a long day, so we really appreciate the time. You're taking on the number 9 jersey this season, am I right?
I think so, yeah. I've never been asked, but yeah. We did see we had to do headshots today, and I had the number 9.
That was what was on it?
Yeah.
You're obviously then taking on the jersey worn by the well-beloved Jim Vandermeer, who has moved on out of Belfast and out of Northern Ireland. We all need to know, are you going to take good care of it?
I will do my best, and I will hopefully do everyone as proud as Jim made everyone else.
Yeah, no, it goes without saying. There's a lot of excitement to have you here. And you're one of the guys I think a lot of people would have sort of circled last season in terms of people we would like to see on these shores. So it's nothing but good news for us. I guess before we close then, do you have a message or anything you'd like to say to the Giants fan base now that you're here as we rocket towards a busy preseason calendar and the CHL?
Yeah. No, basically just I'm excited to be here and I can't wait to get started and play in front of everyone. And I think we got a good group of guys here from the first few days we've met up. And I'm excited to get going. And I think we're going to do everything we can to bring back the league title.
I think the feeling's mutual. There's a lot of excitement. So listen, thank you for your time tonight and we'll see you very soon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Ben. You can get the whole Bouchy and that full interview on our SoundCloud or on kingdomofthegiants.com. Let's go quickly around the league. We didn't speak anything about, it's been a long off season. There's been a lot happening around the Elite League. Let's quickly go around and pick a main talking point rather than get in depth. Most people know of the real, some of the nonsense, some of the stories, whatever, but let's have our own little take on it. Davey, what's the big story from around the Elite League this summer?
Oh, it's got to be Jackson Whistle for me. Almost getting to the top of the Snakes and Ladders board and just... And he ended up in Nottingham. My goodness.
Signs a 2-year contract at the Sheffield Steelers. In comes Aaron Fox. Tells him he's more or less surpassed the requirements. And he's joined the Nottingham Panthers. A bit of a shock, really.
Well, I suppose it's an ego thing. And I don't mean this in a nasty way about West. You know, you're told you're going to be back up at Steelers. So you'll leave and be back up at Panthers instead, you know, and I could very well see him being back up in Belfast in the future. So, you know, never say anything, never say never in hockey. But, you know, as far as this season goes, that must be a big blow to him, you know, going there to Steelerland and all the pomp and ceremony that they said they were going to do. And they were getting him a goalie coach and they were paying him an obscene amount of money. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, Steelers fans, you know, you go onto their social media last year, they said, you know, if it wasn't for Jackson Whistle, that would have been 9th instead of 8th. So, you know, it's got to be a difficult one for him. You know, we all obviously have a little bit of affinity with him because he played for the Belfast Giants, but he left under a bit of a cloud. And, you know, you don't like to see anybody playing for the Panthers.
Simon, what's your big story of the offseason?
There's been a couple, you know, that sort of stand out around the league, if that's what you're talking about. But the big story around the league is the Giants are the league champions. Challenge Cup champions, our conference champions. That's the big news. You get a lot of people saying about, you know, oh, well, that's history. Yeah, it is history, but it's current history, so we might as well write it while we can. With regards to around the league, I didn't see the move for Blair Riley going to Cardiff.
You didn't see it coming?
No, I didn't see it coming, no. Like it was out there for like 10 years before.
Who would have ever guessed? Who would have known?
Unbelievable. I've seen the tweet today from that guy, Steve King, isn't it? You call him from Cardiff.
Steve.
Pleading poverty, jumping out and saying that other teams are getting their wallets out to catch the Devils. But
Simon, Is this the Cardiff Devils who had an 11-point lead in the league title, pissed it all away, and then had their goalkeeper literally throw a puck in the back of their own net and subsequently lose the title on a dead rubber against the third from bottom team in a game that they should have won? That Cardiff Devils, just check.
That's them.
Yes, that's the same guy.
Oh, right. Okay, thank you.
Actually, I'm just going to Google that. Let me just... it looks like it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But look, again, there's a lot of teams around this. You know, there's fan, everybody, all the fan bases will give their view and say that the Giants of the biggest wage budget, what a load of bullshit. You know, there's teams out there that spend a lot more money than we've just got one of the best recruiters, if not the best recruiter in the league, backed up by let's just be honest, the head coach of the year again, with this time again is Adam Keith.
The lunatic.
The lunatic Adam Keith. So, look, I think we're in a pretty good place. You know, everybody wants to beat the champions. Every single team that plays them this year, whether it's the Nottingham Panthers or the Cardiff Devils or the Fife Flyers, every team will want to beat the Giants this year. So we've got to be ready for them, and I've absolutely no doubt that Adam will have them ready for it.
You know what? Just before I come to you, Joel, this talk of budgets and who spent? I couldn't care less. And I've said this before. I remember saying this to Coach when he was at the Storm, about how he used to come out and say, oh, we don't have the budget for this and we don't have the budget for that. Listen, you have your budget that you have, and that's your problem. You go out and you buy your team, and then you go out and you compete. I couldn't care less if we're spending 10 quid or 10 million. Budgets don't matter. That's the end of it. You recruit your team and you go out. The likes of Leicester City have shown that budgets don't matter. If you get the right team behind it, you can go and you can win anything. And, whinging about it in the off season doesn't matter at all. And pleading poverty, the likes of Taco Steve does. Yeah, just laughable. Joel.
I'm going to go for a bit of a curveball. There are the main heads. This year, we're only a few months removed from the Milton Keynes Lightning absolutely imploding in vintage. I don't even know if that's EIHL behavior. I think that's a whole new category.
Who was it on Spitting Chicklets? Was it?
What'd you call him? It was a great interview. Yeah,
it wasn't great for. I'll tell you what, it wasn't great for Elite League Hockey. What he was saying on one of the biggest podcasts in hockey.
Yeah. Aside from that, the 16 miles outside of Glasgow Clan are entering a new era under Zach Fitzgerald. I've always seen them as a bit of a sleeper in this league. You know, if they ever got the planets to align, I think they could be contenders. They have all the facilities and all the potential. But I'm going to go for a bit of a weird one. I've been keeping an eye on kind of former Giants, especially ones that stuck on in this league. And as we sit here on the 8th of August, Ryan Martinelli still hasn't got a job. And I find that surprising. I think he's a great addition to any team. I think he's someone who's seasoned in the EIHL. And I see a lot of guys being pulled in from far afield and a lot of untested guys. Whenever you've got someone there that is proven, and he's a team guy too, he's a friend of the show. You know, he came on after he had signed in Sheffield and he took a good bit of stick and he gave it back. He's just a good guy who would be an addition to any team in the league. And I'm surprised that we're sitting here so late on and he's still without a contract. That's one of the headlines for me.
Didn't even cross my mind that, you know. I'm actually quite shocked at that now that you said it. Martinelli, good player. But, another one who went
good
to Sheffield.
Too, real good lad. Good lad.
Yeah. I thought, not take nothing away from our recruitment. We've recruited an absolutely fantastic decor there. I could have seen Martinelli back in a Belfast jersey.
He was rumoured early in the off-season, wasn't he? There was a lot of talk. I think it's even on his elite prospects. Rumour to Belfast back in, May.
Yeah. I went looking because I was trying to think of little fillers for the show and whatever. I went looking on the Sheffield Star website for that interview that Bob Westerdale did, where he asked Ryan Martinelli, if the Belfast Giants won the league, do you think you'd have made the right choice, the wrong choice to join the Sheffield Steelers? Ridiculous. Another ridiculous.
What a guy.
From Bob Westerdale.
What was the answer?
Well, the answer was, he couldn't answer that question. What do you say to that question? I think his answer was more or less, listen, I've chosen to join the Sheffield Steelers and I'm not even thinking about the
what are you even supposed to say? We're
going for the title, more or less. What do you answer? Westerdale asking nonsense. But I went to the Star website. It's gone. It doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Of course.
It's gone.
Of course it's gone.
Anyway, right, let's move on. One thing we really want to talk about is the fact that the Belfast Giants SNL, Giants have put a team in the Scottish National League this season. They'll be travelling over through the season to take on, I think there's 10 other teams from Aberdeen down to Solway. A real opportunity for guys to come through the Junior Giants and then develop through the SNL Giants. And we'll chat about it in a second. But first of all, let's hear from one of the members of the SNL Giants. Joel had a chance to chat with Adam Robinson.
It's my pleasure now to be joined by a local guy who rose up through the ranks of the Junior Giants setup, eventually earning himself the right to pull on the tail at the SSE Arena in front of thousands of fans. Former Junior A forward with the Canadian side, the Meaford Knights, and current all-round good dude, Adam Robinson. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, Joel. How are you?
Yes, I'm okay. Well, we were talking before we started recording here, and I've got the flu right now, so thank you for the sympathy that you're giving me that I'm not getting at home right now. I really appreciate that.
No problem. If you ever need it, just call.
Tell me before we get into it, what's going on in your world right now? You've been away yourself on the other side of the Atlantic this summer.
Yeah. So I spent about a month over in Canada with my partner. We went back to where I played in Meaford for my billet family. Actually got married, so that was fun time. And then we traveled around Toronto and done that, and then flew out and done Alberta and British Columbia. Done a bit of touring around the Rockies and going to Banff, Lake Louise, and beautiful. Just exploring an absolutely beautiful country.
And did you come back with the flu or...?
No. I come back with a lot of jet lag.
That's a whole other story, but let's leave that for now. I guess we're talking tonight just about the recent news, the re-entry of a Belfast Giants side into the SNL, the Scottish National League. So for anyone who might not know, could you tell me a bit about the SNL, you know, where it sits in the UK hockey landscape, what it is, how many teams, how it works?
So the SNL is the Scottish National League, so in the title, it's obviously based in Scotland, and there are teams spread out all over Scotland from as low as Dumfries right up to Aberdeen. So you're touring around Scotland all year. You're playing around, I think this year there's 10 teams in it. Well, then including ourselves would be 11. So we're playing, it's going to initially be 11 or 10 home games or 10 away games, and then the hope of some friendlies. But yeah, it's a pretty competitive league, and we were in it a couple of years ago, but just with people going away and stuff, we haven't been able to feed a team, so
yeah.
We're fighting back this year and hopefully going to make a dent in the league this year and make a good entry.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, you said it there, the clue's in the title, the Scottish National League. It's obviously a big financial challenge, a big logistic challenge to ice a team from Belfast in that league. How is that being addressed and taken care of in this first season?
So in the first season, with all the games being away, we are having to support it ourselves. So guys are willing to pay the monthly fees to practice at the Ice Bowl, and then whatever it is to travel across to Scotland on a 10 weekends throughout the year.
Yeah.
So unfortunately we are dependent on likes of sponsorship that help with the collateral of the away trips and the cost of ice. So
I mean, I saw social media and stuff being set up over the past week or so there. Are you saying then for any Giants fans, for any local businesses that are listening, that there are opportunities for individual sponsorship, player sponsorship, club sponsorship? What's out there?
Yeah, so it's basically what you said there. We're looking for, you know, local businesses maybe to sponsor a player, or even friends or fans of the Belfast Giants that are interested in sponsoring anything to do with the running. You know, at this stage, anything helps. You know, we're at the point is we're just trying to grow this every year. So this year we're just trying to get it off and running, do a good start, and try to fund it as best as we can, so it sets up the years coming. So we can continue to grow and push forward throughout the years, obviously, and keep it running.
Yeah, I think there are really legitimate reasons for that, which we'll get to in a second. But obviously, you're talking about the 10 away games in that first season that are sort of doubling up on the league board. That's with a view, obviously, if this year goes well, if you get the money behind you and the support behind you to actually do it a full fixture list home and away from next season on, isn't that right?
Yeah. So this year, obviously, with the late entry into the league, Scottish Ice Hockey found it difficult to incorporate home games into the schedule for the teams in Scotland.
Yeah.
So one of the agreements were for this first year, we're just going to have to struggle on with away games, and then in the years to come, the home games will be introduced, hopefully going from next season, that if we fulfill all the fixtures, then the home games will be introduced, and that will then allow, you know, the give and take from the teams. It's obviously a big ask to travel. You know, you may be traveling like 8 hours to Aberdeen on a bus to play a game, and then you're 8 hours back. It's a big demand for anyone, especially when you're only getting away games.
That's it, exactly. So, I mean, there's obviously the need for some support there. And the reason for it, I mean, for me as a fan, first and foremost, of the Belfast Giants, you know, when you talk to Robert Fitzpatrick, the Odyssey Trust CEO, the one thing that he gets so fired up about is local players, junior development, the opportunity for regular ice time for guys who are looking to break into the senior squad. Guys like you, Adam. So, I mean, the introduction of an SNL team, a bridge between the junior setup and the senior team, that must be big news.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. This is all I've wanted. Like, when I was coming up through the ranks, fortunately for me, the SNL team was there the year before I went to Canada.
Yeah.
So I had that experience at a senior level before I left and I pursued my junior career, well, finishing my junior career over in Canada. So the main reason for this is not only for the guys that want to play at a competitive level again, but that gap between the junior Giants and the Giants is filled with this team.
Yes.
It allows kids, you know, as young as 16 now, that they, if they can, they can play up with the SNL team, giving them that experience and that, you know, level of senior hockey that will help hopefully pursue them on the, like, better things with the Giants and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So I mean, from your point of view, from being in those skates, quite literally, do you think that this will lead to more local Giants?
Yeah, well, ideally, yes. Like, I would love to say I'm guaranteed, but it is all about, you know, hard work and dedication. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now we're given that team that allows players to, like, play at that level. If they work hard, I'm sure that will allow that, you know, local talent to be put through into the senior squad.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess in terms of timelines, timing's everything. It couldn't come at a better time at the minute. You know, there's the talk of refurbishment to the Ice Bowl. You've got the Odyssey Trust really making a play for additional ice in the city. So, I mean, in terms of a time for the SNL team to be reintroduced, this is the perfect kind of season, I think.
Yeah, well, as I say, we're talking with the Ice Bowl here with the new building. You know, they're pushing forward more ice time, things in, like, to involve junior ice hockey.
Yeah.
And as you say, with the SSC and the Odyssey Trust pushing for more ice time, it couldn't come at a better time because it, like, one thing that Northern Ireland has struggled with is allowing kids to frequently play and allow, you know, hard work and dedication and having that having the facilities around to allow them to do it. So with the new building in the with the Ice Bowl and, as you say, the Odyssey Trust pumping more ice time and more things to involve local kids, you know, it couldn't come at a better time.
So, I mean, you talked a bit about the league there. The league currently features the recently reborn Murrayfield Racers under Tony Hand, along with a number of tough sides that people will have heard about, sides like the Paisley Pirates, the Kirkcaldy Kestrels. How do you rate Belfast's chances in that first season? And also, even in addition to that, is a good finish and a high finish on the table important, or is it more about establishing that system that works with a view to the future?
Well, I think, like, we have the talent here, you know, with the coaches that are being involved, like Rob Stewart, Graham Walton, Gareth Roberts, Mark Morrison, that we have that good experience backing us up. And then the junior players coming through, I think we'll stand in good stead for the season coming. And the first season is, you know, like, we just want the players to be dedicated this year and better things to come in the future. But I think we do. I'm not going to sell ourselves short. We have a good team going into this year, and I'm very confident that we're going to have a good year and a good first year, which will hopefully then set the bar high for years to come.
It's great to hear. I mean, I'm personally excited, as I say, as a fan first and foremost, and I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on it. Is there a way that Giants fans can keep track of the SNL team this upcoming season? There's a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. There's a website currently being built. The junior Giants are going to be sharing the results and the fixtures and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
So there's social media is going to be the main way to keep in track with that.
Perfect. And we'll pump all those handles and usernames and stuff out over a Kingdom of the Giants interview from the bridge. When does the season start?
So we have our first game actually on August 31st. So right around the corner, yeah.
Okay, so it's coming thick and fast. We'll make sure to keep in touch. And as you say there, if there are fans, local businesses, anybody who would be interested in backing the SNL Giants, please feel free to get in touch with us and we will put you in touch with the team itself. Before we finish, I need to take the chance while you're on. You obviously have seen yourself taken to the ice at the SSC with that teal jersey on. And as a local guy, it's my favourite thing in the world to see local guys get first team time. Can you tell me what it feels like for someone like me who will never do it to skate out onto the SSE in that jersey with the boys?
I couldn't describe it. The first time I ever done it was overwhelming. So the reason I started playing hockey was I went down to Dundalk one summer with my dad. I think it was preseason games we were playing against the Latvian Hawks years ago.
Yeah.
And that was like, this is the sport I want to play. So being able to work my way through it and then like walk out of that tunnel, it's overwhelming and words can't describe it, but it was a phenomenal experience. Phenomenal.
And I think we feel the same in the stands, kind of watching a guy that's your mate, a guy that came, grew up in the same streets as you. It's fantastic, and hopefully with this SNL team back in action, it'll lead to more. So fingers crossed. I mean, for you then, as an individual, what's your ultimate goal in hockey? You obviously played Junior A in Canada. You're on the fringes of that first team spot. You're going to be getting regular time with the SNL. Would your ultimate goal be to establish yourself like Graham Walton, Mark Morrison, Garth Roberts did?
Yeah, 100%. That's my goal. It's my goal the whole time was, to step, earn that permanent spot in the Belfast Giants. And I'll continue to work at it. This allows me now to possibly practice a couple of times a week with the Giants and then play games at the weekend with the SNL. So it's like, this is a perfect scenario for me and anyone else with my goals, to pursue that.
Well, Robbo, it's always a pleasure to chat, mate. We're all rooting for you. We're all rooting for the SNL team, and we also hope to see you on the SSE ice again at some point this season. Listen, thanks very much for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Joel.
Great chat there. I'll start with you. You says that sort of pathway. You're steeped in the hockey with regards to local hockey, and that pathway or being able to go from the Junior Giants into the SNL. This move from the SNL Giants to try to create that and be part of this, it is a good thing.
Yes. We talked about it over the last about, the lack of Northern Ireland blood in the Giants dressing room. Dicko is the only one that's still lucky enough to be in that group of people or group of person to a certain extent. I'd love to see more Northern Ireland players, Northern Ireland born players in the lineup. But it's very, very, very difficult. We've talked about it over the last with regards to it's not a development league. Adam doesn't have, and before him, Derek Walzer, and before him, the guys that we've had, Paul Arium and Doug Christensen, it is not a development league. This league is getting stronger and stronger every single year. You need to be at that level to have a chance to play regularly for the Belfast Giants.
Well, it can't be a development league when games in September mean as much as games in March.
Of course. You're absolutely right, Paddy. I've seen the kids today, so I think Josh Hodgkinson, Tommy McKinnon, Adam Robinson, there was a goalie over from England. You've got wee Shuggy Galloway, who's over, he's a Scottish kid over for training as well. The training that they've had in the last 3 or 4 days is definitely going to help, without a shadow of a doubt. You play with better players, whether it's ice hockey, football, tennis, golf. Well, not so much golf, but if you play a team sport with better players, you get better. It's not brain, not rocket science. But watching the practice and watching, they're sort of playing the likes of the three boys I mentioned playing on the line, and again they're just up against it. The pros, the guys that are in here playing are looking to play in the next few weeks and to get up and running for the Giants. They're not playing at that peak level at the minute because they're sort of being slowed down by the locals. There's no other way of trying to butter it up. That's the way it is. These kids need to be the peak. They need to work their tail off. You know, getting two or three practices a week isn't good enough. You need to be out there every single day. You need to want to play professional hockey. You know, I think that Josh Hodgkinson was playing in America last year. Tommy McKinnon was playing away last year. And that, by all means, that's going to help. Look at Stevie Eccles. You know, Stevie Eccles is great at the level that he played at. I can't remember the name of the team that he played for a couple of years ago. He got an MVP in that league. But the level that make that step up is just too great at the minute. It's just too big. And by all means, again, it's putting the kids that we have here, they need to listen. There's certain, over the years, there's certain people, and I was probably one, because I thought I was the best player in Northern Ireland. I genuinely did, and that doesn't make me a bad person, because, again, you know, you talk about players being overconfident. I just wanted to be the best every single time I stepped on the ice.
Davey thought you were as well.
But, yeah, I mean, Davey's always pumping my tires, and by all means, it's great. But there was kids out there that played a long time alongside me who could have played at a higher level as well. We just never got the opportunity. We never got the opportunity. Bob Zeller met with me, and you know, you knew the story. Bob Zeller met with me at David Lloyd Centre. I was over the moon to get the prospect to play for the Belfast Giants. And then a year later, being told, we're not doing it, we're just going to stick with the Americans and Canadians. That just, for me, that just went, I have no interest in playing hockey anymore. And it sort of just stopped. But these kids have the opportunity, but they need to get out of their head that they are the best in Belfast, because they're not. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. They need to stop thinking that they have the divine right to walk in the team. Some of them do. Some of them think that they're ready to step up right now. I have news for them. They're not. The SNL will help, by absolutely no doubt about that. If they're playing regularly against kids who are having the opportunity to step up in the Five Flyers team, or to step up into the Dundee Stars team, or the Glasgow Clan, you know, they've all got their feeder teams over in those ranks in Scotland. But they need, I'll give you the perfect example. Ian Robertson kids, Callie Robinson, I can't remember the other one's name, in Fife. It's all he did was sat on the bench last year. He went more or less every single game to play for the Fife Flyers, and he got probably two dozen shifts all season. This kid's good. Callie Robinson is good, and I think he's signed for another team this year. So, you know, you've got to be, and you've got to want, you've just got to breathe the game. You can't just turn up and think, do you know what? That's all I need to do. Actually, I just need to turn up, and I should be able to get in this team. It's not going to happen that way. And if you want to impress Adam Keith, you've got to knock your box in every single day that you get on that ice. You've got to work hard in the gym. You've got to basically have the right mentality to go. But as I say, right this minute in time, there's nobody from Northern Ireland, Dicko aside, that can make that step up to play a regular shift in the Belfast Giants team. And I did, and just to finish, and that hurts me to say that, but look, I'm telling the truth.
Before, I've got a question with thought, Davey, as well, but I, in the back of my head, and this, I can hear Robert Fitzpatrick banging, just basically saying, ice. You know, how important is another ice, Pat, says?
That's basically where I was going to get to, Paddy, because it is absolutely vital that we have not just one, not just two, but there's more, three, four, five, all based around North. I still can't believe that Dublin doesn't have a rink. I just can't get that into my head. But Robert Fitzpatrick, Steve Thornton, Eric Porter, all those guys are working their tail off to try and make more ice happen in Belfast. It's, you know, I don't understand why they're not getting it back. And all this talk about the Belfast Giants being, you know, not getting the funding and not getting the opportunities that other sports in Northern Ireland have, that it's not a, you know, it's not a mainstream sport. What a load of b****. It is a mainstream sport. We get more fans in the Irish League. If you take Glen Torren and Enfield matches, and I know there's other teams in North Belfast say they're big, but they're not. You know, if you take the Glens and Enfield out, if they're not playing, you team that whole league put together, I would argue that the Belfast Giants average crowd is higher than an average league game day in the Irish League. So don't be talking to me about it's not a mainstream sport. That's a lot of nonsense. Ulster Rugby, Belfast Giants, GAA is big, big sports in Northern Ireland. And I think Brooksy, I'm pretty sure the stat Brooksy gave last year, there was more fans, actually maybe Davey, my apologies, there was more fans attended the Belfast Giants last year than what there was the Ulster Rugby. So don't talk to me about mains not being main billions, because that's sorry, Cool FM viewers and listeners, but that is 100%. This sport has grown over the last 20 years. Can't remember the name of the guy that said it in the Irish News, said it wouldn't last. Good foresight there, big lad. But where we are right now, and the popularity of the sport, and not just for one side of the community, this is, then the land of the chance, everybody is equal. Everybody's welcome. Come along and watch a game. You'll pick it up. There's more season tickets than ever. Far more season tickets this year. So the Belfast Giants need to get the support, not just from what they're out there at the minute, but further afield as well, because they are the real deal. 20 years, and they said it wouldn't last.
Absolutely. Davey,
sorry for the rant, boys.
This is
unreal.
I'm cutting this. This is going straight to Cool FM. It's this week's trailer. Davey, one of the other aspects of it is the idea of one club, Junior Giants, SNL Giants, Belfast Giants. Is there an opportunity? I know with the stuff that the Giants do in the community, the stuff that the Giants do off the ice, is there a means for people to start to believe in the fact that we are one club?
That's a tricky one. There's a helicopter over the top of my house here. Makes me feel a wee bit homesick.
You in your new lodge today?
just flew over there, so it has. 20 past. This podcast started yesterday, boys.
Whose fault's that?
Well, technically, yes, okay. I know where you're coming from there, Paddy, and that's difficult. Probably difficult for the SNL because they're going to be on the road all season. Hopefully the following season there's going to be some home games where people can get involved. Junior Giants, yes, if maybe, I don't know where when the Junior Giants are playing. This is one of the problems. There you go. Someone who's pretty deeply involved with the club, I don't know when the Junior Giants, because I don't make it my business to go and try and find out. That's bad on me. But the club also don't have a linked up sort of thinking behind getting that information out there either. So yeah, everybody needs to take a responsibility here as to, you know, how we get that message out. Definitely, you know, to me, could the kids be playing at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock on a Saturday night before a game? Maybe they do. You know, could people be going down to the SSE and cheering the kids on before they go in and get a pint before the main event of the evening, and hopefully the SNL team will be able to play some games at home the following season. But yeah, there's potential there for one club, a one club mentality. There should be, but I don't see it there at the minute. But you know, you wish the SNL boys all the best. There's obviously, there'll be some vets in there, probably boys that have played for the Belfast Giants in years gone by, supplementing young kids coming through there. It's probably one of the sad points of 20 years of Belfast Giants, and still we're not converting young Belfast guys into Belfast Giants. We've had, you know, obviously had our moments along the way. The guys were kind of foisted into the team in that third or fourth year, you know, when the ISL collapsed and we went into the EIHL, and you had Marty and Wally and Mo and Gimper and all threw in, and it was sink or swim, and you know, for the better part, supplemented obviously with the likes of Jason Ruff having an incredible season. But the guy, you know, Graham Walton went on and represented the club nice second all time, you know, in number of appearances. The work
GB
played for GB, Mark Mochan Morrison played a whole 400 games for the club, and Marty scored the first goal. You know, the guys did okay in that league, but as the league as the league progressed and got better and better to where it is now, The guys from Northern Ireland weren't competitive enough, unfortunately. We've got to solve that conundrum, and yes, extra ice time. But Sizz probably put it more succinctly away from the extra ice time, you have to be committed to hockey and really nothing else. It's unfortunate. It's a full-time job. To be a Belfast Giant is a full-time job. You can't do it as a part-time, and you can't, it's a Neil Russell word, it's attitudinal as well. You've got to have that mindset that all you want to be is a Belfast Giant, because if you don't have that and you don't have that, the desire and the sort of the ability to drop everything else and just focus on that one goal, you will not do it. You need to be eating right. You need to be in the gym every day. You need to be on the ice every day. That's expensive, and I understand that. And, you know, if you don't have the money to do that, and you don't, you've got to go and try and work a job as well. That's where it becomes difficult. So how we bring those guys through on scholarships or whatever way we do that, you know, that's where your one club mentality, where you've got guys that you identify and you say, that's a future Belfast Giant. We are going to nurture him through the SNL, through the juniors, through the SNL, in the training, and hopefully he'll come out the other side as a Belfast Giant, or a two-way deal with another, you know, elite league club, whatever. Got to find some way of getting Belfast guys back into the roster, that's for sure.
You see the development, the change in the structure of the leagues in England, and you know, the NIHL and some of these SNL guys taking a step into that, with maybe a view to taking a step up to the elite league and trying to create that pathway. I know that Sheffield are starting to create that pathway as well. It's a big good luck to the SNL Giants. And it's going to be a difficult season. I remember, like, when I used to live in Cumbria, I used to get the boat across all the time to Stranraer, and seeing a bunch of the lads who were all on their way to Dumfries to do training or to play games, or their kit, and having to go all that way to be part of it. You know, it's going to be a tough season for them playing these doubled up games. But listen, we'll try to keep you as in touch and as up to date on how they're getting on through the season. It's a big good luck to the SNL Giants, and thanks to Adam Robinson for chatting this. Just briefly, lads, we're going to start to wrap things up here. We're not going to be on until just before the Champions Hockey League. So between now and then, there are those four pre-season games against Mora IK of the Allsvenskan. They're on Saturday the 17th of August at 7 p.m. and Sunday the 18th of August at 4 p.m. And on the 23rd and the 24th of August at 7 p.m, the Danish team, the Herning Blue Fox. Says, are these all on Belfast Giants TV? Pre-season?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
The pre-season games, are they on Giants TV?
Yep, all four. We've got them on. Looking forward to it. I've had a look at the roster. Let's just not beat about the bush here. This is going to be a tough, tough ask. This is a top, top team from the Swedish Hockey League. And these guys will be... I know we've only been on the ice a week, and then next week, obviously, we've got the full team on. But These Swedish guys will be on the ice for at least a month. So this is going to be a tough, tough game, a tough, tough series or two games for the Giants, but really looking forward to it. As I say, the bug is only sure to come back this week.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't missed it. I've been out playing golf. I've been out playing jazz. I've been doing a lot of stuff, and I've been away to Spain a couple of times as well. So the summer's absolutely flowing in. I really, even if you'd asked me last week, see what happens. But I really haven't missed it until I seen the boys on the ice on Tuesday morning. I'm ready to start this again. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Well, it'd be interesting to see how, I know a lot of guys, when we're on Twitter and Facebook, you're looking forward to seeing how the guys gel. And there's a lot of leaders out there, Davey, Adam Keefe's going to be on an eye out for a captain. And I see on Twitter that you've got a campaign to begin.
Oh, to me, there's only one captain in that team. You know, I believe under EIHL rules, you can have a captain and three alternates. So I think that's the route we should take. Mark Garside, for me, 10th, testimonial season, 10th years of Belfast Giant, hanging in there as, Stephen Murphy obviously can't be captain because he's a goaltender, not allowed. Andrew Dixon can't be a crack captain because he's a goaltender, not allowed. Outskaters, someone who's returning year on year, right up there in terms of appearances for the club, puts his body in the line, plays D, plays forward, has been a part of championship after championship. British guy, knows what it means to be a Belfast Giant, gets it, as Robert would say. Mark Garside, number 7, captain of Belfast Giants for me. Please make it happen, Kiefer.
Are you boys on board?
You know what? I don't think it'd be a bad decision. But I'm not sure if Adam leaves it up to the guys to choose the captain or if he picks it himself this year. I really don't know what his mindset is. But, you know, like, there's a lot of experience in there. There's a lot of very suitable candidates. Look at Lenny last year. Lenny assisted. Davey and Paddy have touched on, and obviously Joel touched on Mr. Red Sox.
Yes! You know,
captain one of the best teams in Sweden, European hockey. You know, he went to the European final, the CHL final last year, and he's got to be in the mix for it as well. So, look, we've got a room full of leaders. We've got a couple of young kids that will need that guidance, and it's not just one person, whether it be the captain or whether it be an AMS chest or assistant coach as well. There's a lot of guys that need to be in that room pulling everybody together at the same time.
Joel?
You guys know that I'm a big Jordan Smotherman guy, but I have been thinking about this one as well, and if I have my choice, it's Curtis Leonard. He says mentioned him there. You know, I absolutely take on board what Davey's saying, and I would be as stoked as everybody else if that C was on Mark Garside's chest. But Lenny, as a character, we've interviewed him a few times, and I've made a point of mentioning it. He has this infectiously positive attitude. That guy just loves coming to work. He loves being around the arena. He loves being around the team. He is a big physical presence on the ice. He's completely no-nonsense, and I just think that he fits the mold of someone who would be a captain. If I had my choice, it would be Lenny, but what do I know?
Yeah, and by the way, the Red Sox thing isn't going to stick because I.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's not, because I'll tell you why. I'm more than convinced that Liam Redix is actually going to be a success this season as opposed to the Boston Red Sox.
That's tough. I come more alive to talk about it when they're not doing well.
Any other business, boys?
Yeah, I have, Paddy. I have a Boxall today. And Boxy's. There's been a lot of people get in contact with him, whether it's private message, Facebook or Twitter, and a few other ways as well, and asking, is he retired? And he just wanted me to point out that he has not retired. He's just in the spot at the minute looking for opportunities. He's in Boston at the minute, enjoying his time out there, but he has not retired. He also asked me to pass on his thanks to all the Belfast Giants fans. He said he absolutely loved his time at Belfast and will always hold a special place in his heart. And Davey's already touched on it earlier. You know, Boxy was just a top, top lad. I'd love to see him back in a Belfast Giants uniform. I know where we are right now, it's a full roster, but you just say never say never. So I just want to wish Boxy, whatever he does, well, brilliant. If he ends up somewhere else, you know, he's always, once a Giant, always a Giant. But unless he ends up back in Nottingham or Sheffield, so and then we'll give him a bit of verbals for that, of course. But top lad, what a guy on the ice, and who is ever going to forget that block shot last year in the Challenge Cup final? Top lad,
absolutely superb player. Anybody else?
No, sir.
Nope. In that case, if we're all done, big thanks to Ben Lake, Adam Keith, Kevin Rain, Matt Pellick, and Adam Robinson. Thanks to everybody for the interaction on Twitter and sending all your things through over the last over the summer, I guess. And if you want to get in touch with us at AVFTV on Twitter, Facebook, just search for A View from the Bridge. And keep an eye on kingdomofthegiants.com for articles, game reports, interviews. And if you want to write anything, your thoughts on the roster, your thoughts on the season to come, just drop us a line on articles@kingdomofthegiants.com. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to preview the Champions Hockey League. We hope you, if you get down to the SSC Arena for those preseason games, Saturday the 17th of August at 7 p.m, Sunday the 18th of August at 4 p.m, there against Mora IK, and Herning Blue Fox from the Danish League, 23rd and 24th of August, both those games at 7 p.m. If you can't get to them, Mr. Kitchen will take you through the games on Giants TV. Gentlemen, it's early hours of Friday morning. Thank you very much for sticking with us, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
And wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your summer. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Stay right.
Social Podcast Network.